This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 683, recorded on July 9th, 2026. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way in your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studio here in a very, very warm Bellevue, Nebraska. Ryan's down in Kansas. I think we're supposed to get one of those heat bubbles this week. I know the West Coast or the East Coast has been struggling maybe a little bit with this. Certainly our friends in Europe have been dealing with some of this. Next week, really hot. If you missed the pre-show, you would get that if you're a Patreon subscriber, or you come out to the live channel as well. Talk about, I had an air conditioner incident this week. Not a good week to do those kinds of things. But anyways, we'll make it through. We'll post a show with some world-class show notes out there at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. Again, $5 plan. Very, very helpful. Helps me do some things tech-wise, be able to do what I do here, and appreciate your support on Patreon. If you want to join the team, one plan, $5. Do it 1 month or as many months as you want. Most of you have been on it, on the gravy train, as I like to say, my gravy train, maybe, for a while, and I appreciate you for doing that. Check it out, theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. And then I mentioned this last week, but 2 weeks ago, I asked you if you'd jump out, use the Amazon affiliate link. There's a permanent link on the page. Go to theaverageguy.tv, upper right-hand corner. Boom, just click through it, and that helps the Amazon on the Amazon side of things. I needed more transactions to get access to the creator's API. You guys rose to the occasion and you did it. So thanks for getting that done. Doesn't mean you can stop. No, you do it if you want to, but all that's super helpful. Check it out, theaverageguy.tv. Get upper right-hand corner. I've got some links that says Amazon affiliate, blah, 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 blah. Just click on that. It'll take you to Amazon and you'll get it right on through. I have a story tonight about some things I'm doing cool with that. So stay around for that as well. And then if you're watching this on YouTube, I almost never say this, but I've been feeling a little convicted about it. Like and subscribe on YouTube. If you're watching this on YouTube, now we have two channels. We have a live channel. So if you see theaverageguy.tv, a little black one, that's our live channel and everything goes there. I just kept them separate in the old days. If you're on the Jim Collison channel, that looks different. I think it's a picture of me. That's the edited channel. And you can subscribe on both. You'll get notifications whenever we go live. If you want to subscribe here on the live channel, you'll get us a little notification when I go live. That happens on this channel. If you do the other channel, the Jim Collison channel, you'll get a notification when I post each Saturday. Just about every Saturday when we do one. So like and subscribe. Or just subscribe. One of the things I've been doing on YouTube a little bit more is using the post functionality to help promote some of these things. So if you're kind enough to go in there, watch your posts when I post it, like it, if you can, I appreciate that. It's a click. It doesn't cost you anything. Helps with some discovery. I've been doing a little bit of work with this OpenClaw stuff. We won't spend all night talking about that. That even won't even be the first topic. But that OpenClaw stuff's got me kind of thinking. Really changing my methodology about the way I create the content and the way I post the content. And so with that, I've been kind of thinking, I don't know, maybe there's some things I can do differently that would help me help get the word out about this. For a lot of years, for the last maybe 4 or 5 years, haven't done much advertising. I've been pretty busy at work. And I've been pretty focused there and been really focused on my job and some of those kinds of things there. But I thought, well, if I can get some automations and some things, I'm testing some things. I don't know, for those of you who work in the web space, right, a UTM, right, that's tracking for I really never understood how those work. It's not rocket science. They're all pretty easy. But I've been learning and doing some testing with UTMs on X. I've been on X/Twitter and forever, and I thought I'd give it a try. So I've been doing some things to kind of teach me some new stuff and some stuff that's going with UTMs or as old as the internet, but figuring some of that stuff out. If you see that post, you may see more posts if you're subscribed to me on YouTube. And so check that out. Like and subscribe, all that other good stuff. So I appreciate you doing that. Okay. I wanted to give you an update on our LePro lights. For you that have been hanging around a while back in January, you guys know, let me share my screen. You guys know that LePro sent me some permanent, let's see, let's change that to that. There we go. Some permanent outdoor lights. Hung these up early January or so. Let me play the video here. And you get some idea. These are these permanent lighting, a bunch of different companies, LePro, L-E-P-R-O. I've got some links. We talked about this in a January episode that is there. These are permanent house lights. They're kind of intended to be put on the house, put in a position. You leave them up all year. What you're seeing here was an early January install. That's on the video. And I've had them up since each of the seasons. For Valentine's Day, we turned them red and white. For Easter, we did the Easter colors, whatever those are. Yeah, good shot of the front of the house there. They're out on the solar panels, so they can move around. I have 300 feet of them. They come in 100-foot lengths. At least the ones that I bought or the ones that I got, the pro gave those to me, just full disclosure. I actually installed them on wood shims. So I took a wood shim, big, thick, long wood shim, cut those in half, then stuck it and drilled it into that shim, that piece of shim. And turn this off. And plug those, because I didn't want to permanently install them in the house. I have vinyl siding and stuff, and I didn't want to put a bunch of screw marks in there. They won't last forever. I mean, they're permanent, but at some point something's going to go, right? And so installed them that way, put the wood shims in between the siding or in the soffit, wherever I could kind of slide that in. That's actually worked. Those, as you looked at the lights on the video, those have stayed in the exact same spot. So I didn't have to screw in anything or even stick anything to the house. The shims allowed me just to put those in. That would actually make a really good 3D printed product, right? These lights come in, they're round, maybe half dollar or dollar, actually silver dollar size, maybe like a half dollar in LED, totally programmable. So you can make them do all kinds of different things. The app is super easy to use. Log in, you can say things to it. It'll change the colors. You can search different themes. I could put St. Patrick's Day and it would bring up all these green themes, right? Here in the US, we're crazy about that day. So a 3D printed shim would work great. That was actually designed to hold these lights, and then maybe 4 inches worth of whatever that is, 5 centimeters. It's not right, but worth of length. Your length might vary. Don't take that the wrong way. And just slide that in. You know, again, for me, the soffits go into a piece in the siding, and you can just slide it right down the soffit. It'll hold it. And so far, that hasn't worked. That has worked on all but one. I've had one light come off. I think an animal knocked it off or something. Pulled it down. I need to just get back up there and put it back in. As soon as it cools down, I'll probably do that. Install was super easy. I have a plug-in outside. Those have worked great. So I know oftentimes we, in the tech space, we do these. By the way, I'll have a link to where you can get these on Amazon if you want to see them. There's a bunch of different. LePro is who did it for me, who sent me those. I'll have the original link and the link to the original a time we talked about it. Christian came on and we talked about permanent outdoor lights. It is pretty cool. My neighbor across the street got a version of these, and we do competing dueling lighting schemes. You can turn them all white if you want. You can have them, you know, go in patterns and loop around or address. In some cases, they make really good security downlights, where if you use the programmable, the addresses that are in them, you could just turn them on in certain areas where you want them on for security and lighting, and turn them off if you don't want lighting in those areas. So I give the thumbs up, maybe even 2 thumbs up to this concept of permanent outdoor lighting. Worked out pretty well. Not super cheap. I think they're, I'm going to say $100 a foot or $100 a foot. That would be really expensive. $100 for 100 feet. You can probably find them, you know, if you're thinking about doing this, Black Friday's coming up. Yeah, no, you're like, Jim, no, it's a long, no, it's actually coming faster than you think. Start thinking about your Black Friday. Not a bad way of doing, and in, I'd even consider a set in the shed for mood lighting in there. You know, you could put them on your deck, patio deck, put them underneath them. I think on your, the railings on your deck, they would install really well under there. I put tube lighting up underneath my deck. Now the holders that came with the tube lighting from Menards were just crap. And they're already, well, I shouldn't say already, it's been up for a year or two. They're breaking and such. I had to go actually get pipe, plastic pipe holders that you would use in a piping pipe setting, you know, whatever, water pipes. Those actually held those tube, and those are programmable too. Not quite as fancy as these because it's not, these are all individual lights where the tube, it's just a whole tube. It will change colors though. And you can do disco and all that other stuff that's involved in there. So some really, really cool lighting. You know, this area of lighting is really, really interesting. And I'd love to see how you do your lighting, your outdoor lighting. Do you have something fancy? I've seen folks string stuff from, you know, the top of the ceiling or, you know, there's the big bulbs that you can buy, right? I think they're still LED bulbs, but there's the bigger ones that you can get a hold of. I've seen people use Christmas lights on that. What's your outdoor setup? I'd like to see that. You can send them to me, jim@theaverageguy.tv. If you're on YouTube, I don't think you can post pictures in the YouTube comments. So you can describe it down there if you want to. But I'd love to see your setup. What are you doing? And how is that how is that working for you? What have you found that's worked? Outdoor lighting can really change things. It's I know it's kind of crazy, but boy, it can really change the mood. And in our neighborhood, we've all gotten kind of festive lately. And so we're seeing, in fact, my neighbors directly across the street, they left their Christmas lights up because we all had our lights on. You know, they had the traditional Christmas lights, the, you know, different colored individual. They just left them up. They're like, well, if you're going to leave yours up. In fact, one of them said the other day, I gotta just turn them on. Yeah, turn them on. It's just kind of fun. It's kind of fun to have them all the time. These are, for me, set on a timer. So I actually have a powered outdoor smart plug that turns them on and off for me. So I just leave them on, but the plug turns them on and off. It's sunset. They come on at 10 o'clock. I don't need to be bothering my neighbors after 10 with lights. 10 p.m., they go off. Well, it's 8:30 right now. The sun is shining bright. Now we're on the backside, right? It's going to start getting darker here in the Northern Hemisphere. And so they don't stay on very long. They come on maybe 9:15, and then they go off at 10. So in the summer, they don't stay on very long. Winter, different story, right? We get dark at as early as 5 or 6. They got about 4 hours worth. That's the wintertime. It's great. I love that they're addressable. I love you can change them. It's easy to change them. I'll have all the links if you want to check them out there in the show notes for this show. Okay, you guys know I've been spending some time on Open Claw and now Hermes. If you haven't checked out the posts, go out to theaverageguy.tv. I'm actually up to part 6 in that series. They don't take long, maybe 5 minutes to read each one. They're not how to's, and they're not reviews. I really wrote them as a thinking guide. How should you think about this? No judgments on this, not right or wrong, whatever. Just as you're working with AI in general, it's kind of a thinking guide. And then it has my, you know, certainly I embedded some of the things that I've been doing with them with Home Assistant. But I'm trying to make them just thinking guides. Think about some things. How should we, or what could we do, right, with those? So the averageguy.tv, 6 posts. If you check them out, I'd appreciate that. It'd be great to get your feedback on them. I've been posting those in the Discord group. If you want to join us on Discord, theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Just jump in then. They're an easy place to find those. So OpenClaw, by far, you got to control this stuff. Let's just be clear. The very first article is, don't give it autonomy until you have authority. Right? By the way, I did. And it didn't turn out very well for me. I had to back a whole bunch of stuff out when I just tried to push the easy button. And all these things that I've written have been based on mistakes that I've made, right? And learned the lesson hard way. I spent two days backing out something where I just like, well, just go update it. Like, just go update it. OpenClaw. In this case, it might've been Hermes, but just go update it. It'll be fine. How hard is this? Well, it was harder than I thought. It was harder than it thought, and it ended up destroying 100 posts at theaverageguy.tv. And when I say destroy, it changed them from Gutenberg. That's the WordPress backend, you know, publishing piece. If you don't like Gutenberg, you can always use OpenClaw to destroy Gutenberg. It did a pretty good job of it. Changed them all to classic HTML. Well, all my PowerPress stuff broke. All my shortcode stuff broke. Because it didn't know, like it wasn't designed for that, but it was doing its job. It just thought, hey, I'll do this stuff. I can do whatever I want. Hadn't really gone through a test process to make sure, you know, we do this. Can we observe it? Can we see it? Can we test it? Can we do a dry run with it? What does it do when we do a dry run? And then once it's proved on one, can it do others? And I tell you what. So those posts are really designed to be a thought exercise, thinking about what are some of the things I need to think about, all based on some of the stuff that I've learned. You can check those out. By the way, I'm going to also be writing a version of those for Medium. I don't know if any of you are on Medium or Medium posts. That's probably going to be a spot for me where I'm going to drop them in a little bit smaller form. And actually, I'm going to provide some of the prompts that I use to make sure that that those are available out there. So if you want to check that out, it's going to be available through that as well. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. That's fine. But you check these things out. One of the cool things I did, it's not so much about the technology, although it is, but about the concepts. So I have both EcoFlow and BlueEddy batteries. Right, I have a set, both about the same size. They do different functions. BlueEddy runs all the monitors. EcoFlow runs all the computers. It actually has an extended battery on it, so 2 watt hours, where the BlueEddy is just 1. And it works out pretty well. Solar comes in on the EcoFlow. EcoFlow charges the BlueEddy. By the way, I have an article a year ago on that, 6 months ago, out at theaverageguy.tv. I think it's called BlueEddy versus EcoFlow, or EcoFlow versus BlueEddy, if you want to check it out. On the EcoFlow app, which is a million times better, by the way, than the BlueEddy app. I mean, I like BlueEddies, but their apps, it's okay. EcoFlow is a lot better. Their app is really good. They have this feature called StormGuard. Their brand name, not mine, StormGuard. And what that does is when a storm is coming in, and you know, this, you get a warning, and then you get a watch. And then you get a warning in most cases. Real common here in the Midwest. We'll get warnings, or we'll get a watch 3 or 4 hours before an event. And then the warnings come maybe within the hour, right, of the actual event. Well, with the EcoFlow battery, as soon as it gets a watch, it starts, if it's not at 100%, it starts charging to get to 100%, right? It's trying to, you know, the way I keep my batteries, I don't ever charge them up all the way because I got solar charging them during the day. And then at night, that uses that solar charge overnight, and the next day charges again. You see the cycle, I go back and forth. So in the mornings, those batteries could be at, you know, 20, 25, 30%. I don't let them go all the way down. I want to keep a little bit there. It probably gives me an hour or two. It's not bad for batteries of charge before I would need to start charging them again. So the StormGuard concept is pretty cool. BlueEddy doesn't have it at all. I was like, you know what? It'd be really, really nice if I could build this storm guard in Home Assistant. Now, I don't know if you tried to build automations in Home Assistant. Gavin would say it's easy. Gavin is a service, right? We've had him on before. I could never figure it out. Boy, I tell you what, ChatGPT and OpenClaw together with attached to Home Assistant, man, that, now I'm not saying it was easy. There's a whole bunch of work that went into making this work. You know, first, hey, I need to make sure that OpenClaw sees the sensors, right? The battery, the power, the SOC sensors on the batteries. Can it see them? Then once it sees them, can it see the various charge levels associated with the switches that have various charge levels? Both of them have two additional charge levels. So there's like a silent and a I almost said average, medium, and then high speed, right? Charge levels. And you leave them on silent all the time just because I'm using, in most cases, I'm using solar to charge them. And when I do need to pull from the grid, it's usually not an emergency, so they can slow charge. And a lot of times it's just maintaining the battery where it's at that minimum percentage, right? So you got to know, okay, what switches then are changing it from silent to regular to turbo or to super fast to fast, right? So you got to find those, right? Then you have to wire in the National Weather Service to Home Assistant. And have it watch have it watch what's coming in for your area. This is what's really important. So you need to get that alert, that National Weather Service that's coming in, and it itself becomes a sensor, right? So has a warning been issued? Has a watch been issued? Have they been taken away? Right. So you need to kind of figure out, can I wire in those from the National Weather Service? Can I wire in those sensors? And then, by the way, this automation is not on OpenClaw. It's completely Home Assistant, but it's super cool. And so when today, and then you have to say what to do, what to have it to do, right? ChatGPT through OpenClaw helped me get all this automated through Home Assistant, which was really nice. I couldn't do it by myself, not a chance. But working at it through ChatGPT and then through OpenClaw really made it kind of natural language accessible. So now, when we get a watch for thunderstorms, and by the way, it's only certain watches. We get heat advisories all the time. Well, those don't usually make the power go out, you know, but a thunderstorm does and a wind advisory does. Winter storm watch, I have to start thinking about this in the winter. Sometimes we get winter storm watches days ahead of time, you know, or a day. You know, I need to think through that. I need to think that I could probably take that out or put a different kind of charge capacity on, and that's not the right word, but a charge setting on that if I wanted to. Maybe a specific charge setting on it. Generally, the watch hits first. I've got a dashboard and the slow charge switch on the Home Assistant dashboard turned on. When it turns into a warning, if it turns into a warning, it switches those over. By the way, you have to teach the switches. When one is on, the other can't be on, and vice versa. They have to turn each other off. And then when the whole event is over, you turn them off. It turns them off. Once that status is back down to no warnings, it turns them off. Pretty cool, right? But it got me really thinking about the steps of improving as we're thinking about using these AI pieces with it. Of not just trying to, hey, create, you know, I think sometimes when we were thinking of AI before, we were like, oh, I'm going to just write this giant prompt that, you know, what I really want to do is, you know, and then start writing this big long sentence, right? And then walk away and watch AI do all those things. I haven't had great success. Maybe you did, but I haven't. I have not had great success that way. What I have had really good success with is this engineering steps of kind of one at a time, prove the sensors out, make sure I can do what I need to do with the sensors, make sure they're connected in, make sure they understand what the condition is that I need, make sure that condition can be tested and verified, right? When the condition hits, then do some dry runs. Okay, let's assume this is hitting. What happens? And watch the system react through it. I both could see it in the dashboard and I could see it on the batteries. And so just working through those processes. Then just this week, I wrote that last week when I was on vacation. And then just this week, we had a severe weather event two nights ago. What was it last night? Today's Thursday, Wednesday. I think it was last night. We had a severe weather event. And I was like, okay, this is where it was kind of cool in OpenClaw. And actually used ChatGPT to start with. But I was like, we got a weather event coming in. What kind of things can we do and test and work with? And gave me some code to put in on the terminal and to kind of monitor things. And then when we were done, write the whole test out, save it on the system to say we had a successful test and it looked like this. So again, there's some chat going on about, you know, Tesla, a Tesla wall. Let me see if I can get to the chat here. Bust out says, I'm debating getting an EcoFlow, but I'm sure I want to spend the money since I've got a whole home battery. Yeah, I don't know why you would. We could make bust out. You could, if you wanted to use one of the smaller ones as an individual UPS, why would you? Yeah, if you got Tesla, and I'm sure a Tesla Powerwall has got all this stuff already written into it. So, bust out continues to say my Tesla Powerwall automatically fully charges itself when bad weather's on its way. Yeah, that's what this does. You can't buy multiple batteries, you know, and one of them didn't have this feature, which I thought was super cool. John's checking in. He said, just got my Tesla Powerwall operational 2 weeks ago. This past Sunday night when we lost power at 7, Powerwall lasted 20 hours. Nice. Not doing a total home backup. Power was about 31 hours. John sent me a picture today of his generator I would call it a bucket. I do not know why, you know, something, you know, wagon. There we go. In a wagon. And so, said he did have to go to his generator. I learned that I should have powered down my server rack at night. Yeah. You know, one of these things, that's caused me to do is really know and think about your power draw for some of these. One of the things I wired into the dashboard then was, through all these calculations of where my batteries are at right now and what's the projected number of hours they would last at the current draw. And I keep it pretty consistent down here. So it's a pretty accurate number. So as that goes up, of course, my hours go up. And as it goes down, the hours go down. But it gives me an idea, because what I want to be able to do is still continue to make manual decisions if I need to. So yeah, I trust the automation I built. But what if I want to make my own decision on it? And one of them was, based on the situation, do I want to turn on the charging manually based on what I know, maybe, but what's not showing up in the, you know, what's showing up in the alerts, right? And so for me, knowing how much battery time I had left based on the current draw was super important. So I've got a dashboard that helps me make that decision. Then I've got the power slow and power fast right next to it. And click on those, make that decision manually if that's what I want to do. Again, this is homegrown, which I thought was pretty cool. I'm sure there's other, like in ecosystems, if I had EcoFlow, if that was all that I had, I might trust their StormGuard. I'll be honest with you, shut it off. It was okay. The idea was great, but it was way too aggressive. And I wanted, and it didn't give me the granular control that I wanted to kind of, and plus it was cool. I wanted to do it, right? I wanted to DIY the thing. So yeah, John says cart. Yeah, he got a cart to put his bat. The best thing I ever did was take my generator and put it on a cart that I could wheel the car, big, you know, big tires, so I can get it around, get it up over things in the backyard if I need to move it around in the backyard, put it in various places. The connection now for the generator is out in the back. So I need to get it down the path and up over a few things, having some big tires on there was particularly helpful. So StormGuard in, working, verified at this point. I love it. It's one of those kinds of things. I've got a got the dashboard up right now in front of me. Built into that, it's got the solar, what's coming in. I can get it here. I can get it on my phone, Home Assistant. I customize it the way I want to. If you've got that working for you, awesome. If you're thinking about doing some of those things, especially maybe in an area where you're not using a Tesla Powerwall or you got a couple different batteries going on, certainly it was a solution to get it done. So one of those things where it's more, the AI was more helpful, more than just, the gadgetry around what we do or the writing or whatever. It was actually super helpful in the coding space of coding all those up on Home Assistant. Listen, I never had an automation one time ever work for me on Home Assistant, ever, because I'm not good at it. ChatGPT, you could probably use any of them. I'd use a frontier model, to be honest with you. The lower end models aren't very good at this. The newer models are much better. Man, helping me write the code, helping me not just write the code, but test the code. And then not just test the code, but track the code, right? And not just track the code, but give me some testing on that code as well. And then when I go to put it in operation, is it actually doing what it's supposed to be doing? Honestly, when I first wired up the storm guard, we had a storm start to come in. It didn't turn on. And I was like, hey, what's going on? How come this didn't turn on? Oh, the AI was like, yeah, when we did this earlier, I thought it was supposed to be this way, but it's actually supposed to be this way. Now that I'm actually seeing these alerts come in from the National Weather Service. So super helpful to me to do those kinds of things. I thought this is getting practical now. This is getting actually really, really helpful. And the amount of code it's able to write for me. One of the advantages to it with OpenClaw, of course, that's your own instance, right? It's your own hardware. It's writing locally. This isn't Claude in the cloud, right? This is local. And so it stays in a lot of cases that, you know, you've ever had that experience with AI where you write something and then you go back to try and do it again. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. Let's do it a new way. You're like, no, how about the old way that worked really, really well? Nah, let's do it the new way. It's like, stop it. So been pretty handy to have that. One more story on that. Spent some time just trying to give you guys some ideas of maybe some things where you might find this helpful. Some of you, if you work in this space, you might already know this, but I think some of you, Kyle, I saw you make a comment about it in a Discord group and you've been thinking about it. This may be some of those areas that gives you some help on it. Definitely read the articles. Like, Kyle, I'm writing this for you, to be honest. This may be these, I'm kind of thinking about you in this of trying some of these things out. And before you just go giving autonomy to AI, I mean, it's fun. But is it the right thing to do? I don't know. The averageguy.tv has been around for 15 years. It's got all kinds of Amazon affiliate links that are broken and bad and whatever. And so if we go back to the episode with Gavin, the insight I really got out of that session with Gavin a couple weeks back was if I need to really treat these agents, so to speak, and give them very specific roles. Gavin said this on the show. He was like, hey, this is your name. This is what you do. You need to put some guardrails on them. I need you to do these kinds of things and focus on this stuff. So I created an Amazon affiliate manager and just said, hey, your job is to manage all my Amazon affiliate links that's on the site. And it's a mess. So you're going to have a lot of work to do. And so we've been working through this is if we think about the system, right? Can it like, does it understand what its job is to do? And then before it has any right or even a change authority, what can it see? Can it go out and do an inventory? And what does it bring back? You know, once it has that inventory, can it classify that inventory? Can I say you've got these kinds? Because I've got, man, I tell you what, the Amazon affiliate program's been through two or three different iterations in the 15 years I've been doing this. There's all kinds of weird links out there. Some of them still work, some of them don't. the reason I asked for you guys to go out to theaverageguy.tv and click through the link is because I was looking for creator API access so that I could send products to the creator API and it would bring back for me their current link. That's super helpful in some cases, because as I was trying to verify each one of these, I needed to check on Amazon. Is it the right thing? Or can you find the right thing? If it's totally misrepresented, can you look at the text and find the right thing? This is one of those things I let go a little too early, and it started doing some damage because I didn't test it enough. And I ended up backing out a whole bunch of work that I did. Now, when I backed it out, I actually used the agent to help back it out and then started teaching it these various methods and forms. And this is what these look like. And this is the authority you have to change things. You know, the mistake I made early is you can't change the post format. Like, you got to keep it Gutenberg, friend. Don't change it over to HTML. I hadn't told it that. It didn't know. It's like, okay, I'm going to change it. Just changed it. I was a doofus, right? So giving it some guardrails on its authority, what it can exactly. One of the things, working with ChatGPT, it's as a coder, it is militant about some of these things. And oftentimes would be like, nah, we're not going to give. It said flat out to me, we're not going to give OpenClaw that authority. Like, let's test it before we give it any kind of that authority. I don't want to break it stuff. And so it was constantly kind of checking me. I'd be like, okay, are we ready? No, let's do. In fact, one time we were rolling through posts. This was on YouTube. Hermes has kind of been my YouTube manager. And we were rolling through posts on Hermes. And we were doing them one at a time. And, you know, after about doing 10 individually, I'm like, okay, I think we're okay here. And so it was like, okay, we'll bump it up to 5. So we did 5. Sure enough, in that set of 5, it found an error. We pulled it back down to 1 for a while. Like, we just want to make sure. Because it's heard me be frustrated about some of the mistakes that it's made. And so it's protecting me in a lot of ways, even sometimes for myself, of going too fast on some of these. I think sometimes we've been led to believe, and maybe in some cases this is true, but in this world of AI automation, just tell it and it just does things. Well, maybe. My experience hasn't been that. My experience has been it breaks things. If I don't give it guardrails, if I don't give it clarity. I'm never going to be a guy who's going to write a paragraphed prompt. I know there was all this, it's all in the prompt and you got to build up a paragraph and make sure you have it all the right way. I'm not going to do that. You know who's actually really good at doing that? Other AIs, right? I've spent some time on my phone talking to ChatGPT or even Claude. I've done this with Claude too. On my way home, long conversations about what I'm looking for. Like just talking about it. And at the end of the conversation, say, summarize this in a prompt for me that I can start working with. Then I've come back, taken that prompt, started the process, and then go back and forth between OpenClaw, whatever. I've even done this with the Claude. Go back and forth between the two, showing what is one doing that the other knows, keeping them abreast of each other. And some of the prompts that come out of ChatGPT that I give to OpenClaw, they are those long, and they're not paragraphs. They're don't do this, don't do this, don't change anything, don't think, don't, you know, there's all these guardrail statements in there. It's kind of taught me some interesting things about prompt. I was always thinking about what it could do, not what it shouldn't do, right? Again, let me say it again. I was always thinking about what it could do, and that's not bad, but you also kind of have to think what it shouldn't do. And that's early on. That's something I wasn't getting. I was not thinking about giving it some restrictions, right, in there. And so those two projects that I think are gadget kind of geek related, right? That Amazon affiliate link, of course, has to do with the podcasting and some of the things that I'm doing. When I think about maintaining sites that could maybe be applied to web work or websites that you're doing. Certainly I've got Hermes working on my YouTube, on my YouTube sites. That's made mistakes before too. That's taken me a while to back up. If you at all had been keeping track of my YouTube channel over the last 4 weeks, you've probably seen four or five different iterations of the show notes that have come out because I do them one way and I'm like, oh, I don't really like it that way. Or one time I did it and it changed them all wrong because I didn't give it enough guardrails. So I just stop it. Then I discover, okay, how far is the damage? Then go out and repair all those. One of the things that's been helpful to me thinking along those lines is building a what I call a gold standard. You can call it anything you want, but the term I like to use is a gold standard. When we find something that works, I say to it, save that as the gold standard. And then we can come back to that. It's particularly helpful to save it on OpenClaw, the gold standard, and not in ChatGPT or because it's saying it remembers. Maybe that's true. I think both on Claude and ChatGPT, there's an area you can go and see what's in memory. So you can kind of see it. But I filled up my memory the other day. I had to crunch it down. You know what I used? I took all of that stuff and gave it to another AI and said, crunch this down for me so it makes sense. So I brought it down and I brought it back over and replaced it. I've had a lot of fun doing that. I have learned a lot. Let's just be in the last 12, 16 weeks, it's made me better. It's made me a better thinker, right? It's made me, as I think through some of these engineering processes, like how would I do this? It's made me better. I've really enjoyed the process. I was thinking the other day, you know, some guys build cars, some guys build stuff outside, right? Whatever. I still like to do, I don't do cars, but over the last 12 or 16 weeks, it's been fun to build these processes, right? Thinking more about what they can do for me, less about maybe some of the early AI gadgetry stuff, and more about what could be really, really helpful for me as far as automation goes. You know, what kind of automation pieces can I, back to Gavin's point, what kind of automation pieces can I put together that would be, that'd be helpful to me, right? To my situation. To fill in tools that I don't currently have. You know? Think about that. I'll be honest. I've spent a lot of time in OpenClaw and Hermes and ChatGPT and Claude and Gemini. If you're going to go down this road, friends, it just takes a lot of time. If you're smarter than me, probably not. Maybe less time. Maybe for you, it'll be less time. But boy, I spent a lot of time. I stayed up late a lot of nights. It's been a ton of fun and really enjoyed it. Didn't take much. Extra computer. I do pay for ChatGPT. I'd love to dialogue with you on it if you're interested in doing that. I'm not interested in right or wrong, that kind of stuff. I'm just interested in what's working for you. If you want to throw that down in the comments on YouTube, if you're watching it that way, or however, love to hear what's working for you, you know, and you jump in the Discord group, talk about it as well. Some pretty cool stuff. I'll be honest with you. I pay $20 a month for ChatGPT. That's it for all of this. Hermes is running on a laptop. Both OpenClaw and Hermes are running on a 10-year-old laptop running Linux. So nothing there. I haven't bought any new hard drives for it. I had plenty to begin with, but haven't bought any new equipment. Didn't buy any expensive servers. No more hard drives for sure. $20 with ChatGPT. I've made it all work. Let me warn you. If you try to use OpenClaw, Hermes, or any of these, you know, the big move on AI is to move to token-based, right? API-based tokens, paying per token. Boy, these things are absolute token spenders. Like a drunken sailor. They are just out there. Woo! I am not a fan. I'm using the $20 OAuth connection through OpenAI. Anthropic shut that down. You can't do, well, they reopened it back up, but it's super limited. OpenAI's API is the best deal on this it's not even their API, it's their OAuth connection. So if you're on that $20 plan, you can connect it via OAuth. It has limits, but actually they're pretty reasonable. I blew through them in the early days before I knew how to control it. I blew through them pretty fast. I could blow a whole authorization in 2 days. Then I'd have to wait 5 for the week to reset. So be careful. There's lots of things on this, but you don't have to spend a ton of money for it. Today on X, Tony Rayner. Did Tony ever show up? Tony, did you get out here? John says, is there a Discord channel for this stuff? There could be. Nobody's to this point, nobody's really been talking about it. If it gets talked about, we can make a channel in the Discord group for it if that's what we want to do. John, I'll be honest with you. Most of my thinking is in those posts that I've been doing with it. If you want to dialogue with me, you know how to reach me. If we want to take it to Discord, love to talk about it there. I've been posted on that. John, I know you're seeing those as well. But if we need a separate channel for it, we can. We've done a lot of separate channels and they last like a week and then we stop using them. So just do the general chat with it, or you can put it in home automation, one of those kinds of things if you want to start thinking about it. We'd love to start dialoguing with it. I mentioned this up front. I'm going to try posting some different kinds of stuff to Medium on this and see where that goes. Just different style. I'm just kind of learning some things. I don't know if I'll stay there very long, but we'll just kind of see how it goes. If you got other ideas for me on different areas, different things, other stuff to think about, shoot me a note, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Love to dialogue with you about it. I'll be honest. If you want to talk about this, I'll probably call you. This is too complicated. I don't want to write. I'll probably call you. So you're interested in having a conversation about it, ping me, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Let's just jump on a call. We'll talk about it. Prerequisite to a call, though, you have to read all the articles. Should I like a test? You got to read everything. We can't have the conversation. And as of the recording right now, I have 6. On Sunday, I'll release number 7. I want you to read those before you get there. In whole. Work your way through them. They're important, I think, to what we're doing. And to be honest with you, a lot of that writing is not mine. I've been kind of building up a repository. I knew at some point, I was like, you know, some of these experiences that I'm having are going to be valuable as I go to write about this. And ChatGPT is my content creator, as I call it. That's the role it has. So I've been saving off these experiences and projects so I knew how to get back to them. There was so much there. There was no way I was going to remember it all. And it's done a really nice job of bringing the details back. And so that's been super valuable to just go back and be able to grab those. And yes, Uncle Marv, really? He said, really? Homework? Yeah. You got homework to do. If you want to talk to me about it, and John says, that's reasonable. Yeah, I think so. It's, I know you're joking, Uncle Mar, but yes. Oh, you got to read those. Then we can spend some time talking about it. And it's been a fun journey. I'd be interested. I'd love to see where you go with this or what kind of things you're doing along these lines, what kind of automations and some of those kinds of things. I will say, if you're a regular listener and you've got some cool ones, I may recruit you to come on and talk about them. It's been a while since I've done listener interviews. I haven't had time to get those all scheduled. But John, maybe I should have a quiz. You got to get past it to get to the place where you can schedule the call. It's been a while since I've done. It's been a long time since I've kind of just done. Kind of opened it up and said, hey, if you've got something really, really interesting to talk about, love to have you on as we talk about it. So it needs to be gadget related or whatever, these kinds of things, technology stuff. But I think maybe I'm ready for that again. So if you're to that spot, some of you have been on, some of you longtime listeners, but you were on in the past and you're like, man, Jim didn't like me. No, I want a different direction for a while. But if you got something you want to chat about, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Love to talk about it. I may not take them all, but I've got some space for it. So give me a ring. All right. Well, friends, thanks for coming out. Good to see you all this evening. I don't have anything more to talk about. I wanted to give you an update on those lights. It was 6 months since I put them up, and I thought, well, this would be cool. I wanted to give you two really good examples of things where this has really been helpful to me. If you're a dashboard guy or gal, home assistant. My home assistant is 1,000 times better than it's ever been. It's incredible. Like I'll have Gavin on. I'll do a show and I'll walk through all my dashboards, and it's so much better than it used to be. Super cool. I'm just looking at one right now, and I'm looking at the charge rate of both the Blue Eddy and the usage rate and the charge rate of the EcoFlow. And I can see power coming in and then power going out. And the power coming in on the solar side is this nice little curve. You know, you can see where the panels start picking up the sun and then peaks out about 2 o'clock. And then starting, you know, two, it starts working its way back down the hill. In the summertime, I mean, I'm getting power all the way to 7 o'clock. Not a lot, but 90. 85, 75, 85, 95 watts, something like that in there, which is super cool. I think, let's see, I'd seen a comment. John says he has no solar. I've been to his house. Yeah, it'd be tough to do solar there, surrounded by trees. It's more like what was in Star Wars? Where they had the little hobbit things. What was that? Oh, Hoth? No, that was the snow planet. Ewoks, right? John lives in a forest like that. it'd be hard to do solar. So if you were gonna do something like that, and then John did say, love to see a home assistant dashboard show. I'd get Gavin on for that, and maybe go through that. But I see this really nice power curve. It's super interesting. You're like, that's pretty awesome. You can see from the curve. Was it cloudy? Endor. Thanks, bust out. He got it. Endor. That's it. Star Wars nerd. I can't remember it. I used to know that, but I can't. But you see this power curve, and it's super cool. And I don't know, it just makes me happy. I'm going to stare at my dashboards. Makes me happy. You know, it's been interesting on the dashboard side of things. Is I've been struggling for a long time to get them useful. And kind of walking through with ChatGPT, kind of walking through what's helpful, what would be helpful for me. Like, here's what I'm trying to do. What would be helpful to me? What are your recommendations on what would be helpful for me? And I've got these sensors. And just take its advice. And then at one point I wired it up, so it just changed them for me, which was cool, right? Now, that came with its own struggles. It tried to figure out for the longest time, it would not remember I was running Home Assistant in a Docker, which is very different than Home Assistant on bare metal. And the way the files are set up are different, some other things. So it kept trying to be like, okay, let's make the change. I was like, okay, I'm going to back it up, because it always back up the dashboard first, right? Before you do anything, you back it up. So back it up and couldn't find it. And I'm like, no, it's in a Docker. Oh yeah, that's right. You told me that. It was in a Docker. And then it would do something else different. I'm like, no, it's you know where this is at. Stop doing this. Okay, I'll remember for next time. No, you didn't. We've talked about this 6 or 7 times. Now, once I got it wired in a chat and it was working, oh man, that thing was lights out. I would, once I got it to figure stuff out, then I didn't stop. That's why I'd stay up super late, because I'm like, okay, I know as soon as I come back to a new chat, it's going to forget how it did this. And it's going to take me another 45 minutes to wire this thing in again. Try to give it some helps and some hints. And I would say, remember this, and it wouldn't. you know, that's really frustrating. Hey, could you remember this? Sure. It even put the memory, little memory thing. Okay, I'm remembering. Yeah, you're not. You're not remembering it. That's not true. So there's some of those challenges associated with them too. But man, it has changed. It has completely changed my view of Home Assistant. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. All right. For all of you listening live, thanks for coming out. Thanks for being a part of what we do. You know, theaverageguy.tv, both web media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners, gets secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from folks that you know and you trust. And of course, that's Christian. Plans start as little as 10 bucks. Christian's coming on here in a little bit, and we'll have him talk a little bit about Bitwarden. That's going to be a discussion on that show for sure. May not be all that we talk about, but there's some changes that are going on at Maple Grove Partners, and Bitwarden's a part of that. So he'll be here to talk about that. We are live. I am live every Thursday. Not every. Most Thursdays. 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv/live. If we're not live, that's okay. Most of you are behind. You are. You tell me this all the time. So just catch up. It's fine. You'll get there. We'll just stay up to date. Listen to Home Tech. HomeTech.fm. They're talking about a lot of this stuff too. And I am by far not a genius on this. I'm just doing it. And it's just a ton of fun. So we're live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Most of you are coming to YouTube. So if you're on YouTube right now watching this, subscribe right now. Just do it. Click the button. I'm not going anywhere until you click the button. Subscribe right now. Right down there. Click it. Come on. Click it. Okay, good. You'll get the notification now. Make sure the bell thing. Click it. Right there. Down there. Click the bell. You'll get notified when I do go live. That's the way to do that. And then if you're watching the recorded version of this, click it again. Keep clicking it. No, I'm just kidding. Get there. Get it done. You'll get notifications on Saturday. We publish this just about every Saturday, somewhere around 8 or 9 a.m. generally. It's published, and you'll get that notification when it's live. Great way to stay up to date on everything that's going on here. For those of you joining me live, thanks for coming out. With that, we'll say goodbye.
Welcome to Home Gadget Geeks, where the screens glow bright and the Wi-Fi peaks. If you're looking for the tech talk you can actually keep, then settle on in with Home Gadget Geeks.